A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello there, Gary YouTube here from Cultaholic Wrestling, and you might be wondering, Ross, where is your best friend in the entire world? The person who you will be presenting this year tier list video with, and I'm asking the same question. I've got no idea who we have coming in today, but I know we have someone. Can I hear the door? I did hear the door. Oh my God. Oh no. Oh, no, 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 no.
All right.
No, no, I'm not. Why are you here?
Do this with you.
Why?
Because.
You are the last person I want sat here. How's your tits?
Red.
Still red? Is that why you're wearing pink?
Yes.
Do you want to get them out for the people at home?
Get them out.
Go on. Here we go. Well.
Ready?
Just to peel the curtain back, everybody. We filmed this on Tuesday. It's now Friday. That's a few days have gone by, and oof, they are red, aren't they?
Yes.
Red titty for lols. But there we go. His tits are red. His name is Andrew. My name is Gary. And we're here to speak about the list that WWE themselves released a little while ago called the 50 greatest tag teams in the history of the professional wrestling ever. Yes. That's the official title they gave it, you see, Andrew.
Wow.
But we're not here to speak about all 50, otherwise we would be here all day long. And nobody wants that, especially me, sat next to this very small man.
Why do you not like me?
You've been using Cultaholic, but we're here to do the tag teams. I'll carry on. I'm a professional. Sam, if you wouldn't mind hitting the intro here. That was some good words, wasn't it?
Yes.
So just in case you haven't been here before, we have several tiers to put the top 30 of the top 50 greatest WWE tag teams of all time into, ranging from the best, down to lovely, 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 down to all right, down to just about bearable, and then down in the bottom, in the bin, which I think, just based off the sheer title of the list alone that WWE released, will be empty by the end of this year video. But who knows what can happen on the tier list rank of malarkey. I want to tell everybody the rules that WWE went by in putting together their list. We're going through these 30, the top 30, in the order they were in WWE's list. Only WWE teams are eligible, meaning no gangsters, no Sting and Lex Luger, and no Mulkey Brothers.
Ooh.
Is that a typo? Who are the Mulkey Brothers?
Not a clue.
The Mulkey Brothers?
The Mulkey Brothers.
No idea. Rule number two. Teams were rated only on their accomplishments while in WWE. Therefore, we will be doing the same here today on this tier ranking tingy. So the achievements of the Steiners in the NWA had no bearing on their placement or lack thereof here. Rule number three. Eligibility began with the first recognized world tag team champions, Luke Graham and Tarzan Tyler. I went to school with him. He's a lovely fella. He won the titles on the 3rd of June, 1971. And rule number four. Rankings were based on everything from longevity to cultural impact. Personal biases may have also crept in. Boo! Ooh. How dare you have your own opinions? That's what we've learned, these tier ranking things. You can't have your own opinions, as witnessed by an extended argument over the significance of Tony Garea and Dean Ho.
Whoa.
What a name that is.
What
Dean
a name
Ho.
That is.
He's going to be brought up in this tier ranking thing as well. But we'll start off with the number 30 in WWE's list, and we have first and foremost the British Bulldog and Owen Hart, who of course had one tag team title reign as part of their WWE run. Of course, they were a part of Camp Cornette and the Hart Foundation. They had big feuds with the likes of the Smoke and Guns. So, of course, this tag team tandem, they won the tag team titles from the tag team tandem called the Smoking Guns. You ever done the Smoking Guns?
Yeah, I am the Smoking Guns, yeah.
Fake Razor and Fake... Fake Razor and Fake Diesel. I'll wake up soon. We just shot the podcast earlier.
So
the podcast. A 3-hour podcast earlier, so my mouth is very tired and I now need to speak some more words. But I'm going to keep going.
You can do it.
Fake Razor and Fake Diesel. Doug Furness and Phil LaFond. Legion of Doom. We all know the classic rivalries. Mm-hmm. Owen and the British Bulldog had.
It's going well.
In the 90s. Of course, they reformed as part of the Hart Foundation in 1997 when Owen accidentally eliminated the Bulldog from the Royal Rumble. Then Bulldog defeated Hart to become the first ever European champion. And then tensions boiled over. Mm. And then Brett was like, will you stop fighting, man, and just be part of the family once again? And they were like, yes, what were going on about? Because of Canada. I feel terrible.
Wow.
And then they joined the Hart Foundation, of course, in 1997. Oh, you're not Owen, are you? You're Andrew.
I'm Andrew.
What do you want to say about the tandem of British Bulldog and Owen Hart?
They were just fantastic, weren't they, together? They were really good. They had the technical prowess. I think their promo work was really good as well, always heated. At this point as well, Owen was just funny. Yes. As well as being amazing at everything, like the stuff that he did at the Slammies and things as well, he was just so, so funny. And together they were amazing. I don't think they had too many. Now in a tag team loss, I like it when the boys do the moves together. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Getting some nice tag team tandem moves in there. Mm-hmm. I don't think they did that too much, which is maybe like makes it a little bit not quite all the way up there for me. It pulls it a little bit down. But I mean, those two very, very good proficient wrestlers on their own coming together.
You know the thing I like about them is the synergy. Because obviously in the 80s, the Hart Foundation was Bret the Hitman Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Big boy.
He was a big boy with big shoulders like this. Hello, everybody. I'm Jim. That's exactly what he sounded like. And obviously, Bret was a technician,
mm-hmm.
and Neidhart was a big, strong boy.
Powerhouse, yeah.
And then we fast forward, Owen's now the technician, and Bulldog is the big, strong boy,
he is
a bit crazy at that as well. So I like the synergy between the two,
like
incarnations.
I do like
but
that
I reckon, Owen, I'm so sorry. Andrew. I reckon in the grand scheme of what we're going to talk about today, I reckon this is a lovely, lovely, lovely tier tag team.
I would also say that. I wrote that down in my notes.
Look at that synergy.
Yeah.
You're not an arsehole at all, that's a lie. But of course, if you want to put that first picture there into lovely, lovely, lovely tier, there we go. Mm. Next up, number 29 in WWE's countdown was Miz Morrison. Mm. Hey, hey.
Ho, ho.
Exactly. One-time World Tag Team Champions, one-time WWE Tag Team Champions, SmackDown Tag Team Champions as well. Although, did Morrison defended that at WrestleMania 36, didn't he?
He did, yeah, on his own.
Or did he win them on his own? Whatever happened, it happened. It was one hell of a triple threat ladder match, whatever it was. But yeah, of course, I guess Miz and Morrison are known for more of what they did outside the ring than inside the ring. You don't want to do that too many times, otherwise it'll... Are you recording?
Yeah, I'm recording. I was
lovely.
Just checking.
We'll do a cut. Well, we'll keep it in.
We'll
why not? We'll peel the curtain back. Don't open OBS again.
I'm sorry,
again.
Sam. I'm sorry.
Okay.
So I just wanted to see Sam.
He'll come down on
me. He'll hit
me. Sam will batter me.
Yeah, I'm not in next week, so it's fine.
He beats me with a belt.
Yes.
But yeah, they're more so known for what they did outside the ring than inside the ring, in my opinion. Of course, back in the day, in the first run, we had the Dirty Sheet,
which
of course was some good television on the internet. Well, internet television, I guess.
Yes.
It was on the internet, wasn't it? On the interwebs.
Yes.
And then today, of course, we've had two massive hits. Miz and Morrison, Hey Hey, Ho Ho. The one about Braun Strowman. I forget how that one goes as I'm sat here right now. I wish I wasn't so tired.
Hey, Braun, bro.
Ah, that's how it went. No, it didn't. But two hits. One not so good song about Bad Bunny this year at WrestleMania 37. Of course, we have Miz TV, Johnny Drip Drip, all the shenanigans that comes with Miz and Morrison. Of course, they're fantastic wrestlers as well. The Miz being a proper throwback heel. Johnny Drip Drip being a parkour boy. The thing in the second run, Andrew, that I didn't realise was how good Joe Moore was at sort of promos and improv.
I think you're right as well.
The first run, he didn't really get to showcase what he was all about. But then he went away, of course, and starred in a few blockbusters. He was in a few films.
Yeah.
He was in a few films. And it's clear that acting training is paying off because he holds his own with The Miz, who, of course, is one of the best talkers in the world today. But I cannot speak highly enough of Miz and John Morrison.
I agree. And, I just think you see them from back in the day, 2007, 2008, and you see how much they've grown now as well when they're together. Like, they're both so much more confident, so much more proficient in the ring as well. And I couldn't think of two better people just to be put together, two like obnoxious people, do you know what I mean, to be put together, and it just gels so well. Well, me and you.
You and Adam. I'm not obnoxious. Dearly beloved, we're joined here today. If you haven't watched it, by the way, go and watch The Punishment where he did get chopped. I should have said that. It should be doing more views, that. It was on like 34K when I had a look.
It's doing all right.
It's doing all right, but it should be higher. I'm expecting hundreds of thousands.
Well, people don't like me, so yeah, they would want to see me get
exactly. If you don't like him, go and watch that Punishment. But yeah, they've had some fantastic matches as well. You think back to way back in the day, feuding with the likes of Hardy Boys. Was it Hardy Boys?
Yeah, it was Hardy.
Yeah,
ECW and stuff.
Modern day, I guess, that the feuds haven't really stood out that much, but they've been interacting with the likes of the Usos, obviously, and then this year with the New Day and stuff like that. They're just fantastic. This is a hard one, because in the grand scheme of things, in amongst the greatest tag teams of all time, are there? Because they're at least on the same level as Owen and Bulldog, I would say.
I think so as well.
But maybe have we put Owen and Bulldog too high in the grand scheme? We'll find out later on the tier list.
We'll get going. But thinking about it, it's a weird one, because Miz and Morrison, you do put them together, but you don't necessarily think of Miz and Morrison as a tag team, like the Hardys or something like that.
Yeah.
Which maybe they should be, because they've done so much together, but at the same time, we don't think of them in that caliber, I don't think.
And of course, we are just basing them on what they have done as a tag team in the WWE, not as single stars or anything like that. So I reckon if we're going to put Owen and, I keep wanting to say Owen and Brett, Owen and Bulldog there, put them on the same level as them, because that's just in terms of what they did as a tag team in WWE. Miz and Morrison are no worse off than those two there.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. Ready to suck it. Next up in number 28, we have the Bar. That's what I used to do on WTF. Yeah. Was Dab for some reason, because the kids like it and whatnot. And I'm clinging on to my youth. 4-time Raw Tag Team Champions, 1-time SmackDown Tag Team Champions. We all know the story of how they came together. Mm-hmm. They were feuding for a while, then realized, hey ho, I like the way you do the fighting. Let's have a wrestle together, but on the same page this time. Feuds, of course, with the New Day, Good Brothers, Hardys, The Shield.
Oh.
Including Jason Jordan when he was in The Shield. That was a thing. Braun Strowman and Nicholas at WrestleMania 34, who were the tag team champions walking into that match. It was The Bar. Less said about that, the better than it. I think the most recent reign they had before they split up was with The Miz and Shane McMahon.
Yes.
For me, they were much like a modern day APA. They were never the real, while they were, obviously they've had 5 tag team championship reigns altogether, they were never the real main focus of the tag team division. They were always they were always the team who was facing the team who was the focus of the tag team division. And that's a very important role, Andrew.
It is. It's a very important role, although they should have been portrayed at the top, at the very, very top, you know, all the time. And those two, just two amazing wrestlers coming together, you couldn't think of two better workhorses to come together, I don't think. And Cesaro and Sheamus together, brutal in the ring, so brutal in the ring, but also knew each other very well and knew how to play off each other's strengths and stuff. And their tandem moves together was awesome, you know, where Sheamus would get them in the white noise and then whoop, Cesaro would go and they'll bouncy off the rope, go and get them on their head and that. It's really, really good.
That's exactly what he said. Sheamus and Cesaro sat here now, if you take your
hat off.
I say Cesaro and I'm Sheamus.
And I'll go down, whoop.
There we go. I like in the early stages of that tag team run, how the crowd would boo Sheamus and cheer Cesaro. Yeah. They would still work together and come out on top. It was a lovely type, because so many times we lambast WWE's penchant for wanting to throw two tag teams together with just two random people who they have no plans for. But this one, I don't know if they intended it or not, but it had a story and it paid off in the end. And they're just the good, wholesome friends outside the ring as well. So that's why it just adds to the package a bit more.
Do you remember when they won the belt off? I think it was the New Day, and Sheamus had them and was flaunting them all the time, and then Cesaro just got into the crowd and just pleased all the crowd and stuff. That was just cool.
A nice juxtaposition. That's a lovely word, isn't it? Juxtaposition.
That's one of my favourite words ever.
Genuinely. But I reckon you know what I'm going to suggest we do?
Go on.
Because I reckon, just in terms of what they did as a tag team in WWE, The Bar far supersedes the two tag teams that we've got on that tier list right now.
I agree. I said lovely / the best, because I didn't know if we could come to an agreement on this one. I
reckon we move those two tag teams down too.
I think we do.
All right. But in the grand scheme of the greatest tag teams ever, we're not just saying they're all right as tag teams.
Yeah.
This is in relation to the other tag teams we're here to speak about today.
Yeah.
Move those two down to all right and put The Bar in lovely, lovely, lovely.
Let's not forget, this is the greatest tag team of all time. So even if they're in all right, that still means they're phenomenal anyway.
Exactly.
Don't panic.
Don't panic. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Next up, number 27 in WWE's countdown was Team Hell No. I'm the tag team champions.
Yeah, I'm the tag team champion.
No, 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 I'm the tag team champion.
It was much better when Kane and Daniel Bryan did it, honestly. But of course, they had one tag team title reign in WWE. Again, much like Miz and Morrison, it wasn't so much about the stuff inside the ring, for me personally anyway. It was all the stuff outside the ring. You're thinking about the hug when we eventually got there. But before that, the sort of the vignettes in the cafe and whatnot, where Daniel Bryan's having a yes-gasm, let's call it, in public and while eating some pancakes or whatever they're eating in that diner, and Kane's giving it as good as he's got as well. The segments with Dr. Shelby, all the stuff outside the ring just prove what fantastic, versatile performers both Daniel Bryan and Kane are. The stuff in the ring wasn't too bad either. I'm thinking about their interactions with the Shield and stuff like that. This is in their first run, of course, they came back together when Daniel Bryan made his return to the ring in 2018, just after WrestleMania 34, but that came in because of a kayfabe injury for Kane, which was covering up a real life injury.
It was like what happened backstage. He got like his foot slammed in a door or something
like that. He said he had a smashed ankle or something, but in reality he had sort of tendon damage or something. So it was a kayfabe injury to cover up a real one.
Whoa.
And that makes sense because of reasons. But I love Team Hell No.
Me too. The dynamic between them was so good. And it was funny as well. You don't necessarily think of Kane in funny storylines and stuff like that. But I think he really held his well, especially with all the anger management stuff when they were doing all the things in the little therapy sessions. I think they worked really well together. And in the ring, fair enough. Nothing in, like, their styles sort of coming together in a way. Do you know what I mean? Like, they were very much still their own separate people in the ring. But I think, just like afterwards, and you never really knew what was going to happen with them. You know, like you were always like, are they going to fight? Is he going to punch him? Nah, he's going to hug him. Mm. It's all right. And I really like that about them. I thought it was something fresh that we hadn't seen in a while.
Something fresh.
Fresh.
I reckon this might be, however much we like what they did, the worst tag team we've spoken about so far.
I agree.
So does that mean they are bottom of merely all right in the midst of the greatest tag teams ever in the history of WWE? Or no, we don't put them in just about bearable, Ross, you silly man. You silly man. We love them, but in the grand scheme of things, with one reign, and I guess just due to longevity, they weren't together that long, were they?
No, and we got little bits here and there, didn't we? Like, and the
second room was just like, we've got no ideas for Daniel Bryan after he's come back, so let's just do the thing that worked before.
So, what do you reckon then? Bottom of all right?
Yeah, I reckon, just in comparison with the other two teams. Beloved all the same, but I reckon it's the bottom of those two teams right there. Next up, we have Andrew's favourite tag team of all time. We have the Foreign Legion, who were, of course, Nikolai Volkov and the Iron Sheik. Sheiky baby, and all that kind of stuff. One-time WWF tag team champions. Naturally, of course, one of the most hated tag teams in the history of professional wrestling, full stop, because they are dirty foreigners.
That's it.
But back in the 80s, if you were foreign and you went to America, they didn't like you, did they? No, they didn't. They weren't welcoming like us British folk. We would have loved the Foreign Legion over here in the UK.
Yes, we do, don't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we love them.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, they would come up with their flags, waving the flags and whatnot. Just old-fashioned, proper basic bitch heat, but it works, so why not do it, I guess, back in the 80s. Of course, Volkov would sing his national anthem. It sounded like Morrissey to me.
A little bit, very monotone.
And of course, they would win the tag team championships from the US Express, who were, back in the day, Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda, who is the father of Bray Wyatt, by the way, at WrestleMania 1. And they said 31 there.
31?
At WrestleMania 1, thanks to the help of classy Freddie Blassie's wooden stick.
Oh.
Which is not a euphemism. He had a cane.
Just, how can you, like... They were so perfect for that era, weren't they? I mean, obviously back then it's very much black and white, good versus bad, and they just healed it up so much. And just to, like, stand there in the ring and sing the Soviet national anthem felt like a big balls move to do.
That's big dick energy, that.
It is big dick energy, and it was amazing. And, it just riled up the crowd so much. And then, in turn, that had put over the baby faces as well, say if they got a win and stuff, which is really, really good. Mm. I always think that's a good thing about a tag team, if they can work in their heelishness to put over the team that they're against, to build them up and stuff like that. Just, like, they had great matches with British Bulldogs and the Cannon Connection and Young Stallions and stuff, and They were just brutal, big, beefy, brutal boys. Iron Sheik getting a mink camel clutch and all that.
Big boys. Who was not part of the Foreign Legion, we should know. But of course, these two lads went down the road. You see them in the pub all the time. They were more famous for their exploits as single stars, of course. But the fact that they were both big old bloody heels at the time, put together in a tag team, it just made sense. And of course, it took part in the first ever WrestleMania. Yeah. So that's a signal that it worked.
That's very true.
There's a signal that worked. But in the grand scheme of things, because they weren't together for too long.
No.
Why do we put them in relation to the other tag teams?
I think maybe just above Team Hell No.
Go on then. Why not? I guess they had more monumental moments. Well, moments at WrestleMania 1 than our Team Hell No.
Just that one. You know,
just take us a little bit of tickle.
What are you doing?
There you go. A little tickle. That's there you go. It. Don't worry about it. It's okay. That. 25 in WWE's countdown was Los Guerreros, as Shaniqua used to call them back in the day.
Yes.
I remember
you
that.
Did,
Los Guerreros. Two-time tag team champions in WWE. Big rivals, of course, in WCW. Mm-hmm. But who cares about that, Ross? We're here to speak about what they did as a tag team in WWE. We're thinking back to the days of the SmackDown 6, when SmackDown was a lovely, wholesome place. Oh, so good. Where Michael Cole and Taz at ringside. We had matches with Edge. Edge and Rey Mysterio, Angle and Benoit in the first ever knockout tournament. They defeated those two teams in Survivor Series as well, in a triple threat tag team ting in what was maybe the match of the night.
Other than the Elimination Chamber as
other
well.
Other than that, though, yeah.
But
and, of course, Big Show beating Brock Lesnar. Everyone's favourite match. And to be fair, Victoria and Trish Stratus as
that
well.
That was good.
Hey,
and the tables match at the start. It was a good
It was the worst
view.
Match on the... No, it was the worst match. It was fantastic, so it was. So, of course, they turn face, naturally, because they lie, they cheat, they steal, and all that kind of stuff.
And it's easy. Do get your law rider going. That looks a bit weird. Let's not do that one.
What did you just do then?
I just went like that.
What are you doing?
It's my low ride.
You're riding the horse.
I'm doing my Wartish.
Wartish. They naturally turn babyface now. I say big feuds. They had a feud with John Cena and B Squared.
Yep.
Big fan of B Squared.
Who was B Squared?
Bull Buchanan.
Oh my God, really?
John Cena's hype man.
I completely forgot about that.
He was the, in my mind, even though he wasn't a hippo, he was the hip hop hippo before the hip hop hippo was a thing.
The hip hop hippopotamus.
He's the hip hop henchman.
What? Could you imagine if you had John Cena and B Squared versus Carlito and Jesus? That would have been good, wouldn't it? That might have stopped him from getting stabbed.
What? Is that a sentence you just said out loud, is it?
Apparently, yeah.
And then, of course, Team Angle as well, Charlie Haas and the Shelton Benjamin. Chavo would get injured, of course, at one point during their run. I think it was during the second tag team reign, which would force Tajiri to replace him. And then that would sort of naturally build a splitting up point for Eddie and Chavo getting jealous of, oh, Tajiri, how dare you take my spot? How dare you take my spot? But it was a bit of a red herring as well, because Chavo returned to help Eddie beat John Cena. Mm-hmm. In a parking lot brawl, Los Guerreros then won a couple of matches. I've got it as well. Like Shaniqua back in the day. Los Guerreros defeated the world's greatest tag team 1 week later to win. It was just before their second tag team reign, to win their second tag team title, and then they split up after losing that title to the Basham brothers.
Oh.
Bickering happened, and then, yeah.
That was it.
It was a fantastic. I remember this as clear as day, though, in my mind. There was the Basham brothers beating down. The Bashams lying to Eddie. It was going to be a tag team... I'm not awake
yet.
A tag team title match between the Bashams, the champions, and Chavo and Eddie, the challengers. So the Bashams went to Eddie and said, Eddie, I think they said your wife or your family, someone involved in your family has been involved in a horrible car crash on this road, wherever. Please go and attend the scene now. Save them, Eddie, save them. So Eddie went away, leaving Chavo by himself. And because the contract had Eddie and Chavo on, Chavo had a challenge for the tag team titles all by himself.
Oh, I didn't remember.
Heel tactics, the Basham brothers. There he is. There's the third Basham brother. That's a second reference to the scalp. Is that getting old yet?
No.
But Los Guerreros, they're just fantastic, weren't they?
They were so good. Yeah. And like, just them two together, obviously it helps that the family and stuff, but just excellent in-ring work together. And I think one of the things I think about Los Guerreros is obviously Eddie being the big star of everything. Chavo was so good.
Yeah.
Chavo is like such a good technical wrestler, but also an amazing luchador, high flyer, could do like pull off Hurricane Ranas perfectly and stuff as well. They did a lot of good moves together, like both using each other to damage their opponents and stuff. And like you couldn't, they like make you hate them in a split second, but you couldn't hate them because they were so good at what they were doing. They're genuinely one of my favorite teams of all time, I think.
They are, but where do they go in the midst of all the tag teams? Remember what they've accomplished as a tag team together? Two title reigns on SmackDown back in the day. They weren't together for too long. But they were fantastic, weren't they? I reckon they're above Team Hell No in the pecking order.
You reckon?
I reckon they're in there.
Do you think they're just in all right? Or do you think they're in lovely?
I'm trying to think of the big monumental moments they had together.
And that's a good point.
You stick them where you want to. That is my two penneth into the mix.
Because they had amazing matches with...
Everybody.
With literally everybody.
I reckon they're in all right tier.
Yeah.
Let's agree on that.
Okay.
Stick them where you want. I won't mind.
Let's go above... I'm going to go there.
You're saucy man.
I'm a saucy man.
Why not, eh? Put them in there. Next up, we have the APA. And during my research for this tier list malarkey, I had no idea that their first name was the Hell's Henchmen.
Really?
The Hell's Henchmen.
Wow.
It's a wonder that never caught on. They were, of course, managed by the Jack Hayfever season. It's here. It's kicking my arse.
Pretty bad.
Hell's Henchmen, huh?
Watch this.
What are you doing?
It's being stretchy. I've got it. He's got it. Got my water. That's all.
Shall we drink the water together?
Let's do it. Oh no, COVID.
No, I just don't want to touch you.
Cool.
That's the content everyone watches. But yeah, Hell's Henchman was the APA's first name. Of course, the second name would be the Acolytes, and then the Acolytes Protection Agency.
Yes.
And that's where they really hit the heights. Because I thought, just going off my memory banks, I thought they did nothing but be in the Ministry of Darkness as the Acolytes.
Yeah.
But that's just wrong. That's wrong on all kinds of levels. But of course, I think everyone in unison just remembers them as... The beer drinking, card playing, fake door entering.
So good.
Just big beefy lads who beat people up, including for real sometimes, like the Public Enemy.
Yeah.
And the Dudley Boys, those two teams, of course, one threw a hissy fit afterwards, the other one took it like real men and earned the respect of the wrestlers. That's how things work
Big
dick swinging energy from the APA there. But how do you like the APA?
I loved them. Even back in the day. Maybe back in the day I didn't appreciate them as much as I do now, but even then I was like, oh my God, are they actually going to kill someone? I mean, Bradshaw's clothesline is...
My favourite finisher of all time, Andrew.
Genuinely so good. Genuinely so good. And they were comedic, but they still had the brutality and the chops when they got in the ring. And I think that really made them stand apart from other tag teams at that time as well.
And again, they were around in arguably the greatest era ever for tag teams in the Attitude Era at the start of the millennia.
That Attitude Era
at the start of the millennium. The 2000 bit and the bits before and after. And of course, they weren't, I was going to say, they were like the bar in the terms that they were never the focus of the division, but sometimes when they were needed, they were always there, always entertaining, always good, and always there just to play their role in whatever story was being played. Well, I guess being overshadowed by the likes of Edge and Christian and the Hardys and the Dudleys and Billy and Chuck.
Yes, but I mean, you just can't go wrong with them, can you? Like, and you can tell some people... In tag teams, you can tell they just don't really gel well. But from what we've seen over the years and stuff, obviously, Bradshaw and Ron Simmons are very good friends as well.
They're either brothers or lovers. Yeah, I can't quite make them mind up.
I can't either. But that goes to show, that goes to, I think, prove whether a tag team is going to be amazing or not, is when they genuinely have a bond together, because they just know what the other one's going to do straight away. And that really works to their favour, I think. So
I'm going to say, with three tag team title reigns under or in and around their belt area, they go in lovely.
I agree. Do you reckon above the bar? Below the bar.
Because they are the bar.
They are the bar.
What bar? What bar are the APA? Are they just a Mars bar?
They are. Ooh.
What chocolate bars have black wrappers with white bits?
And
a bit of red.
It's like a double decker.
That's purple and orange, isn't it?
I got that wrong.
It's a Mars bar. That's as close as we can get. Answers on a postcard, please. What bar are the APA? in terms of the colours on the t-shirts, black, red and white. Next up, number 23 in Dury's list is the Black Jacks, who were around in the 70s and the 80s. Of course, they comprised of Black Jack Mulligan, who was recruited to play college football by the legendary Paul Bear Bryant.
Oh.
Any idea who that is?
A man.
No idea either. He was 6'9" and 340 pounds, and he's Bray Wyatt's granddad.
Wow.
And then we have Black Jack Lanza, who of course, well, to me at least, is a wrestling fan who's grew up with the podcast and whatnot. Mm. He was a longtime agent backstage.
Oh, right.
In the Attitude Era in the 90s and stuff like that. So that's where I know him most from. But these, JBL, I would always remember on commentary going on about the Black Jacks a lot, not just because he stole their gimmick and their look when he first arrived in WWE.
He was just after
Justin Hawk Bradshaw, that period of time when he had the really big bushy handlebar.
That's because he was in the New Black Jacks with Wyndham.
And that just shows you how good this tag team was, because when WWE try and do the new of something, you know, first of all, the new version is going to be terrible, but the old version were actually very, very good.
Yeah.
They won their one WWF Tag Team Championship. Of course, this was in the 70s. This was in August 1975 from the team of Dominic DiNucci and Pat Barrett.
Pat Barrett. Why are we doing...
It sounds like it should be a character in Father Ted. Father Pat Barrett.
Yes, it does.
No relation to Wade Barrett either, I assume. They also hit the heights under the management of Bobby the Brain... Brian Badonde, Bobby the Brain Heenan. I'm sorry, everybody. Captain Lou Albano as well. And of course, we've mentioned the new Black Jacks as well, who just proved how good they were.
Yeah.
Just a pair of big lads who would smash folk.
They remind me of back in day APA. Do you know what I mean? Like two giant big boys. And then you've got the claw. I think it was Wyndham who had the claw one, where he'd just go down and grab him and no one could get out of it. Yeah, they were just big, big beefy boys. Very, very imposing in the ring as well. Again, like in the era of sort of just black and white goodies and baddies, they were some of the best baddies, I think, tag team wise. I thought they really played that role well. Again, especially with the claw, no one could escape the claw.
Rootin' tootin' cowboys.
That's the
baddest cowboys in the wild, wild west. Blackjack's Roundup.
That was a reference I love very much. That was very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'm fantastic.
You are pretty good.
So where are we going here?
Well,
together for a few years, which is crucial to know.
It is.
Well,
I think then, do you reckon above Nikolai and Sheik?
Why not, eh?
Why not? Do it. Rootin' tootin' cowboys.
There'll be people of a certain vintage who are looking at Miz and Morrison above Nikolai and Sheiky Baby.
And they'll be going, what are you doing?
But, you know, that's your opinion. Subjective. We've got ours. It's, we're not going to hate you for your opinion.
What?
So don't hate us for ours.
Okay.
So, what?
I thought we were going to hit them for their opinion.
No.
Oh, we'll let them off then.
No, there's no point in hating them.
There's not. It's daft. It is daft.
Unless, of course, someone tries to use your company that you started from the ground up to get somewhere else. Next up, we have The Shield, Sierra, Hotel, Indio, Echo, Delta, Shield. I'll Wake Up Soon. Three tag team title reigns they had. Of course, we know about the rivalries. Well, the big debut, of course, with Team Hell No and Riot Black. Mm-hmm. How fantastic that was, being brought in as mercenaries by CM Punk.
Ooh.
What a fantastic guy he is. Wonder what he's up to these days. You never hear from him anymore, do you?
No, never. Ever. Never, ever.
There's never a YouTube channel just doing news videos about him daily, it seems.
No.
I think we should fill that void. We should start doing that. The Wyatt as well speaks for itself. Undefeated in WWE for the longest time when they first arrived in the company. I don't know where you even go from here. It was just fantastic start to finish, wasn't it?
It literally was fantastic start to finish. Amazing matches with like Evolution and stuff as well. Yeah. Like them being able to go up against the old guard like that. I mean, that was so good to put them over even more, wasn't it? And the matches were genuinely really good too. So you can't go wrong with that. And obviously that the Shield has just gone on to build them into the huge stars that they are all today. Like you said, where can you go from that?
The breakup, I think we should mention the breakup, was absolutely fantastic. Mm-hmm. Seth Rollins, because the great thing was about it, they've been around for, I think, just less than 2 years by that point. It was sort of, they arrived at the end of 2012, wasn't it? This was the summer of 2014. Mm-hmm. And Rollins has just hit them in the back with chairs. The best thing was they didn't wait too long for the sort of the hype around the stable to go away and then break them up. They did it when they were hot.
Mm.
Not just in terms of the way they look, the handsome bastards. That's a great thing.
It was.
From start to finish, the different contrasting styles you had. I always saw Ambrose as the de facto leader. I don't know what it was about him. Even though Reigns was obviously the guy the company had the most stock in, Ambrose was the leader who was sort of like a bit unhinged and, you know, not quite as much as he was when he was the Lunatic Fringe and, I'm a bit wacky, me. Look at me, funny. Mox is much better. Then they had Rollins, of course. He was the architect. Yeah, he was the thinker. Then Roman Reigns, of course, was the big muscle. Lovely contrast in styles. Lovely outfits.
Lovely outfits.
Which I had me think when they debuted that they were the offspring of the Big Boss Man, but it turns out they weren't.
Could you imagine if the Boss Man was still around, like that getting together? That
Boss Man is going around the country having lots of relations with lots of ladies.
Yes.
Like the Dudleys, but with Boss Men.
Yes.
That was terrible. Like that. What are you saying about the Shield?
Amazing. And I think at that period of time as well, there was quite a few, not necessarily comedic tag teams as well, but you had like Miz and Mizdow and stuff and Goldust and Stardust. And I think they were just a really good contrast to all of that. Just something really serious and really just intimidating in that time period. I thought that was always really cool. So, I mean, they have done so much and they've gone on to do so much too.
It's top tier.
It's top tier. It's top tier. It is top tier.
It's the first one in the top tier. Fantastic, fantastic.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Next up, we have something which I want to do a little bit of spring cleaning here, Andrew.
Okay.
Because in the official WWE countdown, this is me feather duster.
Oh, okay.
I'm doing the dusting with the
feather
duster.
Oh, is that what you did?
Yeah, what do you think I'm doing?
Never mind.
we make things awkward you sometimes. we have D-Generation X in number 21 in WWE's official countdown of the greatest tag teams ever.
Oh.
Now I know what you're thinking, it's a stable. But also, when I hear D-Generation X and I think of tag teams, I think New Age Outlaws.
That's what I think of more so. Now, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking about when they got back together in like 2006.
When they were more concerned with putting the Big Show's head up Vince McMahon's ass and having him eat that ass. Mm. And also with selling stupid little glow sticks.
Yep.
So I'm gonna suggest, Andrew, because spoiler alert, everybody, if you haven't seen the list in total, New Age Outlaws are number 8. In the countdown, in WWE's official countdown. But D-Generation X are 21. So I'm going to say we amalgamate the two.
I like that idea.
Because, and I've got the stats to back up here, New Age Outlaws as part of DX won 6 tag team titles, Shawn and Triple H in that run in 2006-07. They won 2. Then we have X-Pac and Kane, who also won 1.
Yay.
But they don't count.
No.
Let's speak about the New Age Outlaws. It's got to be, hasn't it? That's what you think about D-Generation X, tag teams, it's New Age Outlaws.
One of the biggest teams of that era, the New Age Outlaws. You can just hear it in your head. Oh, you didn't know? Just good. Do you know what I mean? Like, and it got the crowd going so much too. And together in the ring, amazing. Really, really just hyped, exciting to watch all the time. Funny as well. Again, another thing is like they were comedic, but still had the chops in the ring, which is what you want, I think.
And while they didn't have like your typical 5-star classics that we see all the time here in 2021, we're honestly spoiled when it comes to professional wrestling action. Just between the bells, the two bells, the starting bell and the ending bell. We're spoiled for the action these days. While they didn't have those classic sort of five-star matches, what you would say were five-star matches, they just had classic moments more so than matches, if that makes sense.
I think
putting Chainsaw Charlie and Terry Funk, Chainsaw Charlie and Cactus Jack,
angry.
It's a Friday afternoon, I'm dying. Put them in a dumpster and chuck them off the stage.
That was mental.
It's just, just moments more than matches. And I think lovely, lovely, lovely.
I think that too.
I want you to just disregard that picture there.
Yeah, let's disregard
straight
that.
Straight forward. There they are. Get them over there.
The boys, Billy.
New Age Outlaws.
And a Raw Doggle.
Not a disparage what Triple H and Shawn Michaels did.
Top of lovely, lovely, lovely.
Why not?
What do you reckon?
In for a penny, in for a pound,
it.
You know?
Do it.
But not to sort of disregard what Triple H and Shawn Michaels did.
No.
It's just when you think of DX and you think of tag teams, you don't think of Shawn and Triple H, do you?
No. And I think when you look back on that, when you were a kid, because I remember going to see WWE Raw live in Manchester and DX was there, and as a kid you are so excited that something from the old has come back and you're like, I can't believe I'm getting to see this is so awesome. And then you look back without the rose tinted glasses and it was a lot of I like dad jokes and stuff, though. It was a lot of dad jokes, a lot of poop jokes and stuff like that.
Poop and
it doesn't do anything for me now. I mean, they had amazing matches with like Rated RKO and stuff. Mm-hmm. Another problem was they kind of squashed them, though, and there was a lot of good young stars in there, and I felt bad for them. It also brought the best out of Vince, though, I think, too, because the storylines were still really, really good, if not always ending up with his face in Big Show's Big Bottom. I don't think it quite hits New Age Outlaws level.
I need to clarify what I mean by you don't think of those two as a tag team when you think of DX.
Mm.
Wrestling-wise, as tag teams. Of course, we had the shenanigans with Sergeant Slaughter and stuff in the Attitude Era and everything they did outside the ring and the press conference with China in the background and all this, they're playing cards in the ring. It was all shenanigans outside of wrestling.
Yeah.
When you think of tag teams and wrestling and DX, it's New Age Outlaws, and
that's why
I think we're here to speak about more than just pissing about, you know?
Definitely. And I think at that point as well, both Michaels and Triple H had obviously solidified themselves more as world champions and as single stars more than anything. So when they did do tag team stuff together, it did feel a bit thrown together almost. I might get poop for saying that, but you know what I mean? Do you get me?
I know what you mean.
Do you get me?
I know what you mean. But I think New Age Outlaws are DX's tag team. So
without a doubt,
we spoke about them there. But let's move on.
Are we putting Fingy in there then? Are we just leaving Triple H?
Shall we put them in there?
Yeah, let's put them in there.
Let's put them in there. Why not?
Go on then.
I reckon in terms of what they did as a tag team, in terms of, you know, everything in, including the wrestling.
Mm. I reckon
top of all right. I don't think it's what they did I don't think what they did as a tag team.
Yeah.
I know they've won two tag team titles with DX, but they try and reel off the matches they had.
Okay. Rated RKO.
Big Show, Shane and Vince in the cage.
In Hell in a Cell,
Shane and Vince, they had a bit back and forth.
Yes.
Back to the Attitude Era, here we go. I'm thinking,
I can't even think,
they don't jump out of you, so I reckon that weighs it down quite some.
But again,
the shenanigans were so iconic, but then again, Billy and Road Doggy Dog, they were involved with some of those shenanigans. So, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean. So what do you reckon then? You're saying top of all right?
I'll let you put it wherever you want.
You might hate me for this. I was going to put them like below the Blackjacks. Is that a bit controversial? Do you think?
You do what you want, Andrew.
I'm going to do it.
You've got the power, you've got the mouse.
That's true.
But I think it's just as what they did as a tag team in WWE, I don't think it weighs up.
No.
Quite as much against what the other tag teams on that table have done so far.
I agree.
Next up, we have another stable. We have Undisputed Era. Do you like them, do you?
I love them.
Do you like them, do you?
Give them one of them.
When I say to you, NXT, NXT, Undisputed Era, Tag Team Champions, the Tag Team of Undisputed Era.
Yep.
Who are the Tag Team of Undisputed Era?
Bobbitt Fish and Kyle O'Reilly.
Interesting.
Because
I did a little bit of digging, and I think, I don't know how reliable my sources were, but Roddy Strong actually had more matches as a tag team with Kyle.
Really?
Than Bobby did.
Did Bobby have an injury at some
massive
point,
injuries,
though?
Massive injuries,
And Roddy kind of had to... I know, obviously, they used the Freebird rule, I think, but I think Roddy did step in for quite a few of them. And, Ross, just each one of the members of the Undisputed Era brings something different. Mm. Like, Adam Cole's just all the pomp, just all the sort of like the swag and everything.
Sneaky as well.
The sneaky... The what? The sneaky stuff. You got Kyle O'Reilly, amazing at strikes, submissions. Bobby Fish, also incredible at like submissions and stuff like that, more like classic wrestling. And then just Roddy Strong, the Messiah of the Backbreaker, just a brutal, brutal boy. And they all just bring something amazing to the table. I love them so much.
You think about their exploits in? Cover your microphone. Cover your microphone. Walker! Sorry, you need to do that properly every time, don't you? The stuff with Sanity, the stuff with the AOP, even though they were as green as the green screen there, which has been edited.
Whoa.
Now, so it's not even green. It makes sense to me and Andrew sat here now, but not to you.
It's green.
It's very green, that. As green as grass. I was going to try and do something different there, but it's failed miserably, isn't it?
As green
AOP
as...
AOP, as green as grass.
As green as the Martians from Toy Story.
As green as the Martians from Toy Story, just the skin part, not the outfit part.
Yep.
British Strong Style as well, of course. British Strong Style got... Oh, sorry, it was Mustache Mountain, of course, wasn't it? Not British Strong Style as a whole, who got the big NXT Tag Team victory over here in the UK. Do you remember that one?
I do remember that one,
because
it was amazing.
Because they were so good, they being Undisputed Era, pronouns pal,
ooh,
it got a big pop and it meant a lot.
They did, yeah. They've had so many good matches, obviously, with well, Imperium as well.
Imperium.
So good. Obviously, when the Bros Awaits were going and they won the tag team titles off Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, like, oh, that was such an amazing match as well. They gel well with everybody that they're in the ring with. They adapt really well to everybody.
And ironically, everyone else is well gel of them.
Yes. Yes, they do. Yes.
Wordplay.
Wordplay.
Woo. Word life. It's basic twaddlenomics. I'm going to go over lovely, lovely, lovely.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go top of lovely, lovely, lovely. I would have said the best, Ross.
How long were they together for?
Towards the start of this year? Four years?
This might be controversial. Do we have to put the caveat in that it's NXT?
Don't do this.
And
to
therefore
me.
A different
Don't
set
do
of,
this to
And
me.
Therefore a different set of, no, I'm just saying, therefore a different set of eyes
okay.
was booking that show compared to what the rest of the tag teams are being booked by.
That's...
I know the Blackjacks are more so done by Vince Senior than Vince Junior.
Okay.
But
I'll go...
You know what I mean, though?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll go top of lovely, lovely.
Put them in the best.
Are you sure?
Yeah. It's the summer. It's the sound of the summer.
Go on.
Next up, we have the Soul Patrol, which of course was Rocky Johnson, who has a son. Mm. Not too many people have heard what this son's gone on to achieve in his life.
Well,
I hope his son is okay and alive. And we have Tony Atlas in there as well. After just 2 months together, they beat the Wild Samoans, one of which also has a son, and no one knows what he went on to do.
Not
a clue with any tribal chiefs or anything.
Something to do with that.
They were together for 2 months before defeating the Wild Samoans, who were the big bad boys of the time to win the tag team titles, becoming the first ever African American tag team champions in the WWWF or the WWF. Atlas was just a powerful man.
Yes.
Rocky Johnson had everything his son had and maybe just a little bit less in the promo department, I guess, if you're going to split hairs.
Yeah.
But you can see why The Rock is so energetic and charismatic and just fantastic and everything, because his dad was very much the same.
Yeah, just his punches. Yeah. Obviously, I think Rocky is very looking and doing and looking spitting and slap. That's obviously, I think, very much influenced by his dad there too. A very good combination of people. Like you were saying, Atlas just a powerhouse, but could still fly around the ring as well, doing all the cross bodies and stuff. And Johnson just being such a showman all the time. And I think you're right in terms of the promos might not have been quite as where they are with his son.
Not quite as good as The Rock.
but still, like the accomplishments, you know, the first African American tag team champions, which is insane to think about. That's so cool. They were exciting to watch in an era where personally, obviously, me being, and yourself as well, obviously, being a bit younger than those eras. We weren't born, that's very true. But they were very exciting to, you go back and watch their matches now, very exciting to watch still. So I think that really puts them up there.
But the longevity.
Oh, it wasn't too long, was it?
Not there, because just after the next few months after winning the titles, they defended them against the Wild Samoans in events around the country. Mm. And then, the North-South connection of Adrian Adonis and Dick Murdoch defeat them for the titles as Adonis pinned the Johnson.
Oh.
And then they just split up and that was it.
That was the one. Which is sad, because them two together were genuinely very, very good.
They were. But, you know, it wasn't all that... the big run we're talking about here wasn't too long. But the fact we're still here speaking about that today and the WWE reference it from time to time with the Hall of Fame coming on and stuff like that. I think Rocky Johnson went in just a couple of years ago, wasn't it? Just before he passed away.
Yes, yeah.
Rest in peace, Rocky Johnson,
rest in
by the
peace.
Way. So it depends where we put longevity in the pantheon of what counts in this tier.
Do we like? Do we also factor into the account that they were the first ever African American tag team champions as well? Because that's obviously like a big deal. Yeah. So I think they've got to be in lovely.
Go on, stick them in lovely.
Go on, stick them in lovely. Whereabouts are we going for?
Above the APA.
Yeah, I reckon
above
so.
Above the bar. Above, put them at the top.
Go on there. Yeah?
I don't know. Put them where you want.
I'll put them there.
They're all fantastic teams, aren't they? Next up, we're going back to the olden days in WWE's list. And number 18, we have Mr. Fuji and Professor Toru Tanaka. Ooh. Three-time champions way back when in the 70s in the WWWF. The Worldwide Wrestling Federation.
That's it.
Tanaka was massively strong, while Fuji was not quite as strong.
No.
But he was very cunning.
He was a little sly boy.
Which, of course, he took over. I dare you call him that, who's face.
I don't.
Which, of course, he took over to his managerial career, Mr. Fuji. Mm. Arguably, and I'm just saying that because, of course, myself, I'm nearly 29. You're
Nearly 28.
You're nearly 28. So in terms of us, I know Mr. Fuji more so as a wrestling manager.
Yes.
With the little hat on. Mm-hmm. What are they called, those hats? Bowler hats?
The bowler hat, yeah.
The bowler hat, Yokozuna, the salt, all that sort of stuff. Yeah, so I know him more from that than his wrestling itself, as the gods of thunder and rock and roll.
Whoa.
Echo above our heads. Like I picked up the microphone. I've got no idea. These buildings are built terribly. I hope Addison see this and sort it out by knocking them down and starting again.
Big fans of Cultaholic Addison.
Come back and watch the matches, though. I watched a couple last night, and they're all about quick tags.
Yes,
which
they
wasn't
are.
As common then,
no.
I don't think, especially in the 70s, mm-hmm. as it maybe is these days. And, you know, the commentators always like to make a big hoo-ha.
Yeah.
Oh, quick tags.
Quick tags.
Splitting off the ring, and quick tags some more, and split off the ring, and all that stuff. And they did that very well indeed.
They were good, like... They're not a tag team I'm very familiar with, to be fair, Ross. I wasn't too familiar with this. And as you were saying, Mr. Fuji very much knowing more for his managerial roles and stuff. Yeah. But watching him, the dynamic was good in the, Tanaka was the bigger boy. And he was very much the scary one out of them all. And then Fuji would come out, maybe do like a body slam on someone to the outside and stuff, just to like take him out of the equation. So it was very good in terms of, like the what would you call that? I get would that be the synergy again?
The synergy, the yeah. tag team etiquette, the tag team
etiquette.
Intelligence,
yes,
the tag team acumen, the tag team poise and posture.
I like it. Yeah, but again, like maybe watching it, maybe because it wasn't of my era. I thought they were okay, and like compared to some of the other teams on this, I don't think they stand out as well as some of these other teams on the list.
There might be a 60-year-old fella watching this video right now
who's
going,
trying.
How dare you
I know.
Say that about them? But I reckon, because obviously WWE is very revisionist with their history, and they tell the history they want to tell.
Yes.
And in terms of the history they want to tell, they never really tell us about the number 18 place in their greatest tag team list of all time.
Yeah.
So whether that means anything, I've got no idea. But I reckon, should we just go play it safe and put it in all right?
Yeah, I think put it in all right. I think like bottom of all right, I reckon.
Yeah, they're not going to be any lower than that. They're in the greatest tag team list of all time.
It just baffles me that the Brainbusters aren't in this list at all.
I know.
Not even in the top 50.
Mm.
Mental.
Next up, we have the Steiner brothers, who of course were from Michigan, and who I didn't realise were in WWE for such a short time, around about November 1992 until the middle of 1994. In that time, they won two tag team titles. Did Rick, and he called him Ross there, Rick Ross
Rick
and Scott
Ross.
Steiner. There's a tag team everyone loves, Rick Ross and Scott Steiner. The University of Michigan.
Woo! Yay!
Go on, the Michigan University. And of course, everybody knows the Steiners were the hardest of all the hard bastards.
Big boys.
If you were going to have a shoot fight with everybody involved in WWF way back in the early 90s, you would have Rick and Scott coming out on top every single time, because they were the perfect blend
of
amateur prowess and pro wrestling hard men.
They were just big boys, and they could fly as well. I think they were insanely innovative for the time as well.
Yeah.
Obviously, Steiner just breaking out the Frankensteiners and stuff and flying about everywhere. That was really exciting to see. And for someone who's not, I'm not a giant fan of the big beefy boys all the time, but they're the big beefy boys that can do the things that you wouldn't expect them to do.
Yeah.
And I always really held them in high regard for that.
Yeah, that move that Steiner would do with the, he sort of got him with a suplex and then,
yeah.
Oh, I forget what it's, Steiner screwdriver, I think
yes.
it was called.
Yes, oh my God.
Oh my God. That was a, meaty move, a very meaty move indeed. But you think, this is the thing that confused me so much because they were just involved in everything big around that time. And I know the new generation roster, by and large, wasn't as strong as other eras in WWE. But the fact they were always involved at the big Survivor Series match with Undertaker and the coat and whatnot, with the flag on, the WrestleManias they're involved with, that just gave me the impression they were around for a lot longer than they actually were. But I guess that's testament as to how good they were, the fact they were there for such a short time and entrusted with a lot of good big moments and things.
Yeah, I agree. Just they were just phenomenal. And I think I feel like they've influenced a lot of tag teams going forward as well. I think a lot of people sort of look back on them fondly and you know, how can you not? They were very innovative for the time.
Yeah. I reckon lovely.
I think so too. I think top of lovely.
Go on then. I love the Steiners, me. Scott Steiner especially.
Grab it. I can't grab it, Ross. Ross, I can't grab it.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
What's happened?
Oh my God. Quickly end the OBS recording.
Damn it.
Sorry about that, everybody. We had a little bit of technical difficulties. Woo! Stick them wherever we were going to put them. I forgot
we were
going to
put them at the top of lovely. Ray.
Rock and Sock Connection, who I cannot believe how little they were actually together in terms of time. But they are 3-time tag team champions. Mm. How many televised matches do you think the Rock and Sock Connection had?
5.
I was hoping you were going to say a lot more. 18, but I thought it was a hell of a lot more as well.
Wow.
And that's including matches like the debut as a tandem alongside Kenneth Shamrocketh.
Oh!
Against the tag team of The Undertaker and Kaneth in a handicap affair. Again, it's another team who was more about the shenanigans than the actual wrestling itself. Mm-hmm. Of course, the moments where they won the titles, unexpected, fantastic.
Amazing.
Two very popular wrestlers together and that just works sometimes.
It does. And that pop when they did the people's elbow together was so, so cool. And just the pop, I think everybody just loved The Rock and Mankind at that point. And I mean, it was a really good pairing, a really weird pairing as well. Obviously it does kind of feel like one of those teams that was thrown together just because, but then at the same time, it works. It really did work.
They had a story.
They did.
When The Rock was in the corporation, of course, he feuded with Mick Foley. We've seen all about that. On the old, I'll say Dark Side of the Ring, the old Beyond the Mat.
Yes.
With Noel Foley and nipples and all that stuff. That's a favourite word.
Wow.
Nipples. It's one of the best parts of the documentary,
I thought you were going to say one of the best words then.
Nipples.
Nipples.
Tomfoolery is my favourite word.
That's a good one.
Tomfoolery.
Mine's juxtaposition. I like that
juxtaposition.
It's just a nice word.
So Rock was part of the corporation. He feuded with Mankind. Rock's then out of the corporation. He's booked in a tag team match or a handicap match at the time, I think it would have been, against the Unholy Alliance. That theme they had, which I thought was quite pleasing on the
ear. I thought it was pretty good.
And the Undertaker and the Big Show. And then Mankind was like, hey, up there, Rock, I'll help you, pal. Don't worry about it. And eventually the Rock said, yes, let's do it. And they won the bloody tag team titles that night. That's how the Rock and Sock Connection, they came to be a thing. Eventually, though, the Rock said he was sick of Mick. Mm-hmm. He was sick of Mick stealing his catchphrases, getting involved in matches, doing the Rock's moves and all that stuff. Mick begged him to tag team together once more.
Yes.
But Mick didn't tell Rock what the one more match was going to be. Mm. It turns out that was a tag team title match against the New Age Outlaws. Woo. And what would happen again?
They did it, Ross.
But they did it, whether The Rock wanted to or not. They were tag team champions again. Eventually, I think they would lose it to the Hollies down the line. Which is
they did.
A weird sentence to say, but that was the Attitude Era back in the day.
Yeah.
Iconic, obviously, a lot of people mistakenly say it was the most viewed segment in Raw history. It was up there for a bit, but it got beaten by someone else. I forget, it was Undertaker and... Who was it? Undertaker or something? Everyone knows at home. I've forgotten. I'm tired. It's Friday afternoon. I like Rock and Sock Connections. Lovely.
Yes, I think they're lovely as well.
Even though there's no real longevity.
There's no real longevity. And compared to some of the other tag teams on this list that kind of... Well, I'm talking myself out of it now. Because I was going to say, like, you know, you've got the Guerreros and people like that. And Rock and Sock... But the Rock and Sock Connection was just a good dynamic. And it unlike tag teams nowadays in WWE, it actually forwarded a storyline, which was really cool. So, you know what? Yeah, I think lovely, 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 actually.
And they were great, weren't they?
They were.
You know, back, I say again, WWE's revisionist history and whatnot, but the history they do tell, the Rock and Sock Connection is one of the greatest tag teams of all time.
Yeah.
So let's pay homage.
Homage.
Next up, number 15 in WWE's countdown, we have the Wild Samoans, who were three-time WWF World Tag Team Champions. We have Afa and we have Sika. Sika being the father of five kids, including Rosie, who was the superhero in training. Rest in peace, of course, to Rosie. And one tribal chief himself, Mr. Roman Reigns.
Oh, these guys were awesome, weren't they?
So I reckon Sika's genetic jackhammer should be put in the top tier.
His spear.
His spear, so to speak. Yes, that should be put in the top tier because
I think so.
What powerful sperm he has. Of course, they were managed by Captain Lou Albano in the WWE in the early 80s. And they had big title matches against Tito Santana and Ivan Putski in their MSG debut, no less. They would go on to then challenge for Bob Backlund's WWE title as single stars because they lost that MSG debut.
Yep.
And how do you come back from that attack?
How do you come back from that?
They won their first titles against Santana and Putski. They held for 1 month before losing those titles to Gurria and the model Rick Martel, who then feuded with them, the Samoans, and Rick Martel and Tony Gurria for just about a year.
They were so good back in the day because they looked so different to everybody else as well, and they were unpredictable, which I liked about them a lot, because obviously back then, well, I've said it a million times already in this video, but black and white, it was good and bad. Good and bad, they are opposites, that's the one I'm thinking about. But they were just unpredictable, and you didn't really know what was coming next. They had sort of like a ferocity about them as well, which was a little bit different compared to everybody else. They've paved the way for so many, like the Usos and stuff too. Just a phenomenal tag team.
Manu, Magusy.
Yes.
He was literally dressed like they used to be back in the day.
Oh my God, yeah. So, yeah.
Returned to WWE for a second stint a little while after their first one, and they won the tag team titles again, this time from Chief J and Jules Strongbow. And they were going to feud with, I think it said Snow Patrol there. Mid-90s indie band Snow Patrol. Soul Patrol, of course, is what I was supposed to say there.
Yes.
I should do these videos on days where I don't have a 3-hour podcast with Matthew and Jack the Jobber available wherever you get your podcasts from. But of course, the Wild Samoans, often talked about in WWE even today.
Yep.
And obviously iconic in their own right. So
very much so.
I reckon they're above the Black Jacks and the Pecking Order in terms of,
I think so too,
what they did in WWE especially.
Do you not think they're going lovely? Do you reckon?
Yeah, the Wild Samoans. I love the Wild Samoans.
Yeah, me too. Whereabouts in lovely, do you reckon?
Above the APA.
I think above the APA. But do you reckon
the Rock and Sock are low down? Yeah, they had more longevity together, didn't they? The bar.
They did.
Just put them wherever you want, Andy.
I'm going to put them there.
Lovely.
It's mental.
Next up, number 14, WWE's countdown is the Rockers, who of course is comprised of Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, who is not Scottish despite the accent I just put on there. No tag team titles to the name, but of course everyone knows the controversy around that thing, the Rockers and the WWF World Tag Team Championships. They bloody won them.
They did.
From the Hart Foundation on a taped show where the top ring rope broke. Because of that, and because how it sort of, I don't want to say it ruined the match, but it sort of, you know, made the match harder.
Yes.
They couldn't do stuff with the top rope, like lie back in the corner.
But he does that a lot.
And take a chop, for example.
Don't bring that up.
Do you want to lie back and take a chop? Is that sore if I do that?
No, it's not.
Oh,
it's the shoulder that's sore. But the chest is fine.
Bloody hell. But of course, because it ruined the match, and it didn't ruin the match, but it sort of hampered the match.
Yeah.
And Vince McMahon saw that sort of hampered match. He decided not to put it on the VHS that was going out, so nobody ever saw it. On the TV, sorry, I should say. Didn't put it on TV.
That's got to be devastating.
Of course, they had one defense. Who was the defense against? Power and Glory.
Yeah.
But that match wasn't aired on TV either because, of course, they were never the tag team champions.
That sucks.
Swept under the carpet.
Oh, but they, and that's such a shame. They were like So in my notes and stuff, they might have not been like booked the best. They might like, and they
were
all young. Legitimately, yeah.
Not only were they young, they were also smaller than everyone else around in the age.
They were, but like their influence is unparalleled in tag team wrestling today. Like you get people talking about them, like the Hardys always say they're an influence, and Miz and Morrison as well. And you can, I think you can see the influence obviously in the Young Bucks and in the retire and stuff too. Like even though they didn't have that official title run or win, they'd still, no matter what, influenced tag team wrestling to no end, I think.
Yeah, they had big matches and feuds with the likes of the Hart Foundation, the Twin Towers, Fabulous Rougeau Brothers, Brainbusters, Powers of Pain, all the big hitters of the day in the late 80s and early 90s. It's got to be Kane.
It's got to be Kane.
How much are we going to say that no tag team title reign in a predetermined thing matters here?
I think because their influence is so big, a title reign for them doesn't necessarily matter.
Are we going top? Are we?
We got the breakup as well. And that
was one of the great angles in the history of pro wrestling, where Marty Jannetty, of course, tried to escape.
And imagine
out the window
if they were just tried to get straight out there. I personally think the best.
Go on then, why not? They're certainly ahead of their time.
Someone's going to be screaming at me.
Someone's going to get their wig split. Next up, number 13 in WWE's countdown is the Mega Powers. Who are they? It's only Terence Bellea and Randy Poffo.
Woo! The big boys.
One's a big boy.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I bet Macho Man's massive as well.
Macho Man, yeah. Oh,
in comparison, Hogan's 6 foot seven, isn't he?
Yes.
You forget about that sometimes, don't you?
Bonesaw's ready.
Bonesaw is ready.
Do you remember?
To kick Spider-Man on a cage.
Although Spider-Man kicks him on a cage.
Did he?
He beats him, doesn't he?
I know that, but like, doesn't he actually kick him against the cage?
Oh, he does, and then he like, and then he's like,
I'm Spider-Man.
That was good.
No tag team titles, of course, for the Mega Powers, but it doesn't matter about that. Mm-hmm. They were both singles, world title holders. Of course, we go all the way back to before the Mega Powers were a thing. Randy Macho Man himself, is the Intercontinental Champion. He's fighting against Hogan, who was the good guy. Macho Man is the bad guy. Eventually, Savage is looking to take back the IC title from Honky Tonk Man. Elizabeth is watching Honky Tonk Man beat down Macho Man Randy Savage. Macho Man, he cannot recover. Elizabeth's like, what do I do? What do I do? I can't let me husband die. So she goes backstage. She gets Hulk Hogan, and Hulk Hogan scares the Honky Tonk Man away, and thus the Mega Powers are alive.
I am a real American.
Are you?
Nope.
Interesting. What do you say about the Mega Powers?
I think these were another one that was good because of what we got from it. Do you know what I mean? Like the storyline of them breaking up and fighting over Miss Elizabeth.
We got WrestleMania out of that.
We really did. And it was
SummerSlam.
Yeah, it's so, so good. Together, they obviously, two of the biggest stars of that period, getting together, that is going to just pop the crowd and stuff. I think they really worked well together. Mm.
I don't care what you say, Andrew. Sorry to cut you off.
Go on.
But Hulk Hogan fancied Elizabeth, okay?
He did.
He fancied her. I'm Team Macho Man all the way.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I am as well, yeah.
Yeah. Hogan fancied her, and he overstepped the mark. Putting a lady on his shoulder.
Just disgusting behaviour.
Disgraceful.
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 I'm glad we agree on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. What else are you saying?
I'm just saying that, yeah, it led to one of the best feuds, I think, in wrestling, in just wrestling history in general. And because of that, again, maybe it's, what do you reckon?
I just think it was literally the focal point of wrestling in the 80s.
It was, yeah.
Because like obviously Vince McMahon had taken things global, everything else was a bit more localised at that point of time. So you got to go high.
I think you've got to go high.
While the title reigns aren't there, the influence on wrestling and the fact that they main evented a WrestleMania and we got a main event of SummerSlam that wasn't even a wrestling match at the wedding that eventually came about after Randy saw the error of his ways and went back to... And of course, we had the stuff with the Mega Bucks as well, who of course are no relation to the Young Bucks.
Yes.
The Twin Towers as well, of course, involved in that, which is Boss Man and Akeem, just in case you didn't know.
Big boys.
The African Dream.
Yeah.
So it's got to be top,
it's got to be top.
Let's not mess around with it. It's got to be top.
Boom. Let's boom them. Boom. Boomed.
One tag team I didn't really expect to be in this list, but is in this list, is the Valiant Brothers, and they're number 12. In WWE's countdown, they, of course, were one-time tag team champions. A 370-day reign starting in May of 1974. That wouldn't be beaten in terms of distance of the reign. One reign until Demolition's reign in 1988. They defeated Tony Garea and Dean Ho. There he is, big Dean Ho, to win the WWF tag team titles. The team comprised of Luscious Johnny and Handsome Jimmy. They were flamboyant. They were
peroxide hair.
Valiant, weren't they?
That's why they were called the Valiant Brothers.
Valium.
The Valium
they
Brothers.
They maybe took because it was the 80s.
I mean, probably. You know what Undertaker's saying out there? Stabbing each other and taking drugs. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real. That's what real men do.
That's what we should do now instead of sitting here talking about wrestling. We should go outside and just take some Valium.
Stab each other.
And stab each other with a pair of scissors.
See who goes
That'll prove
first.
Our manhood.
But... yeah, different for the time. Again, watching a video online and Jim Ross and Gerald Briscoe just saying nothing but good things about them, just praising them so much. Again, a tag team I don't personally know too much about. But it's just something completely different. They were saying in the video, Briscoe and JR, saying that their tag team matches with Dean Ho and Tony Garea were some of the best of that era, like instant classics apparently as well. So, again, I don't know too much about them, but I think for that time, very good, stood out, which I think is a main thing. Because when we think back to that sort of period, stuff kind of blends together a little bit. And when a team actually puts themselves out there and does something different to change it up and really make you think, oh, this is different, this is cool. I think that's quite important.
I don't know where I put them. I've got no idea.
I don't either. That's the thing, because I just don't know them too well. But obviously...
again, it's a team you never really hear spoken about today.
Yeah.
And we are going down the list of the great tag teams of all time.
Yeah.
Even though it's on their own bloody list.
Mm.
I'm
feeling...
are we feeling all right just to play it safe?
Yeah, I think so. And I reckon I'd like maybe above Mr. Fuji...
yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Boom, go on.
Why
then.
Not? Here comes the axe, and here comes the smasher. The Demolition, Walking Disaster.
Woo!
Randy and Keith are our middle names.
Mine's John.
Mine's William. What's yours?
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mine's after me granddad.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
Yours? After?
Mine's after my dad's best mate.
Your dad's best mate?
Yeah. Because they're like bros, bro.
Proper bros?
Yeah, just like, that's when my dad got his like first proper farming job was...
wow.
With his best mate, John, yeah.
Wow.
Wow, cool.
Incredible.
Amazing.
Not named after John Deere tractors, no?
Oh, probably that as well, because my uncle is he's got a tractor collection. He goes on like tractor like festival things and like rides his tractor down the road. He's an happy man.
He's a happy man. But we're here to speak about Demolition, the wrestling tag team off of the 80s. Three-time tag team champions in WWE. I think they still have the record for the most combined days as tag team champions, but not the single longest reign of a tag team title, because of course that was taken by the New Day. In the middle of the last decade, in the midst of a concussion lawsuit where Demolition were involved, and maybe... not taking anything away from you, Dave, of course. We will be speaking about those little chaps.
Those little rascallions.
The little scamps. We'll speak about them later on. But it'd be interesting to see where they would be in the pantheon of greats of all time if that concussion thing wasn't going on. Because those were the news reports and whatnot. I was just getting started in my YouTube and content creating career. But then that was all in the news headlines. How that was sort of hampering Demolition sort of perception with Vince McMahon and how they were portrayed to the watching WWE Universe. But say what you want about them being knockoff Road Warriors, which apparently was the sort of the genesis of the idea, the Road Warriors and the Road Warrior pop and how much success they were having in the NWA and WCW and stuff like that and around the world in New Japan. And Vince wanted a slice of that. Pardon me. I just
that was
there.
Pretty good.
Thank you. Style it out, Ross. Style it out. Keep it cool. But they were iconic in their own way.
They were. I think they made it different to the Legion of Doom as well. They're very intimidating. The look
more
was
sex
awesome.
Dungeon.
Yeah, very like the little belt things and the little nipple.
I went to the Amsterdam sex dungeon on my own.
I saw that.
Yeah, and literally, there's like, as you walk in the front door, there's like statues with like sexy...
of Axe and Smash.
Sexy sex gear on, and two of them look like Axe and Smash. Incredible. Got chain link on and everything.
They were obviously WWE's answer to Legion of Doom at that time. But they were genuinely more than that though as well. They really held their own in there. They had cool finishing moves and stuff, you know, where they'd like put them over the knee. Not spanking.
Spanker.
No, they wouldn't spanker, Ross. I knew you were going to say that. And they do like the elbow and stuff. Yeah, just again, in a period where things might have been a little bit more lighthearted for WWE, they were a nice breath of fresh air, something a little bit more edgy that I guess we'd see them sort of take into the Attitude Era kind of stuff. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where do you want to go then?
I think we put them maybe...
It's got to be top two tiers.
Yeah,
they're
I was
iconic.
Thinking that.
They're
I was thinking
iconic.
That. What about like at the... Do you reckon better than APA?
Yeah.
Or, yeah. Do you reckon better than Rock and Sock?
Yeah.
Yeah. Better
it's
than the bar.
It's demolition.
It is demolition.
They're not suing us for a concussion lawsuit.
Better than the bar.
We can still like them. Yeah.
Do you reckon? Yeah. Better than Afra and Sika?
Now we're getting in dangerous
all right.
territory.
We'll plop them there then, eh?
They're like, this is hard to put it. They're all just it so is. Good in their own way, aren't they? But
yes.
Such is the life of a tier list maker.
Very true.
Tough decisions have to be made. Next up in the number 10 position, we have the British Bulldogs, one-time WWF Tag Team Champions, which they won from the Dream Team, as people Woo. From Sunderland would say. Other people would say the Dream Team. How would you say it?
Dream Team.
Dream Team from Yorkshire there.
Dream Team.
Of Greg Valentine and Brutus the Barber, well, before he was the Barber, Beefcake at WrestleMania 2. Feuded with the Dream Team some more. Also the Foreign Legion that we spoke about earlier. Lose the titles they did to the Hart Foundation. The contrast in styles is what made them so good.
Yes.
We've seen everybody, including us two now, saying Dynamite Kid was ahead of his time. You say
yep.
it, I'll just see if that's
he genuinely was ahead of his time.
Ahead of his time. The world of sports style hybrid with the sort of North American style and the Stampede style from the Canadian as well. All of the styles in there, apart from AJ, crucially, because he was just a young boy.
Yes, he was a wee style.
You say some style. Words while I cringe what I've just said.
Dynamite Kid, fantastic. Just a fantastic wrestler and... do you know what? Like,
it's a shame what happened in his life after.
It really
how
is.
How the business just sort of chewed him up and spat him out, and
yeah,
what happened after that?
Very, very.
All that stuff with his wife at home, and
yeah,
horrible episode of Dark Side of the Ring. Really,
yeah,
looking back on there,
it really is. That was one of the when I was a youngling, my grandma used to be very much into the wrestling, and I remember being very young and seeing. And seeing Dynamite Kid on the TV and stuff, and she back then she was all like, hey, go on, get him, and all that. And I had no idea, obviously, what was going on, but going back now and seeing that, it made it look real. I mean, you know, wrestling isn't fake, but he made it look very, very real. And I guess with him, it pretty much was real. And those two together with Bulldog, like, so perfect. Mm. So perfect together. Like... Again, just a team that you can't think of a better pairing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the tier. I don't know where to go. Because in my mind, they're top tier, but then...
I think they are.
Yeah. And you can make the argument for Demolition to be in top tier. The Bar to be in top tier.
You can.
You can, can't you? This is hard, this. I'll go with you, whatever you want.
I was going to go in best. Because I think you do think of... When you think of tag teams in WWE... I do think of them up there, you know?
Yeah, and they were the focal point of the division for a while there, weren't they?
They were.
Well? About 4 years, I think, their reign, the tenure. Sorry, not their reign, their tenure with the company was. Mm. So, yeah.
Let's go on then. Let's game rate up there. And do you know what? I'm going to put him above the Rockers as well.
Oh, my God.
He's mental.
The cat is among the pigeons.
He's mental. Now I'm thinking of Undisputed Era too high.
I think
they're we just thinking, because they're just different eras, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm keeping him there.
Yeah, why not? We'll fight you.
People can
He'll
fight
you.
I will.
I'm a lover, not a fighter. I bruise like a peach. But next up at number 9 on WWE's official countdown of the 50 greatest tag teams of all time, we have the Brothers of Destruction, who were two-time WWF tag team champions and one-time WCW tag team champions, of course, in the midst of the invasion angle.
Ooh, it was cool to see them come together, wasn't it?
It was.
The Bros. The Bros finally got after being not friends for so long. Now, you know, after Undertaker's burning his brother and that.
But you forget about that period of time. Because in my mind, I think of Brothers of Destruction. I think of Biker Taker.
Yes.
And Kane with his arms out.
Yep.
In the darker mask and, you know, the straps.
What is it called? Like a leotard thing. Yeah.
Not the covered arm and whatnot.
No.
But they did have a brief stint together just after they feuded. Initially, where Kane was still one arm covered Kane with the red.
Yeah.
the OG Kane. Just the sight of those two big bastards walking down the ring, That is 2001.
It is. For me. That is
Kane
nostalgic.
Would come out, the organ bit at the start.
Yep.
And the fire would go off. Sometimes even he would walk down to the ring, stand on the apron, not enter the ring, just stand on the apron, do his pyro, and that would start rolling playing.
Which is
that
cool.
Is 2001
that
wrestling.
Is so
league.
Cool.
Won the titles from Edge and Christian a few weeks after WrestleMania 17. Lost them to the two man power trip a week later at Backlash. Where did they rank in the top 15?
I don't think they did. You know.
Bloody
There's
hell.
Quite a few. Like I said before, like the Brainbusters aren't even in there.
Bloody interesting. They won them again from DDP and Canyon at SummerSlam, where they also successfully defended their WCW tag team titles, but then they dropped the WWF tag team titles to the Dudley Boys.
Woo!
About a month later. Yes, just absolutely fantastic.
Love them so much. And again, two people that know each other so well and just can do amazing things together. Like, they were just having fun as well. Do you remember when they faced off against, who was it? Funaki?
Kainsaw, yeah.
Yeah, oh my God. And they were just doing the last ride thing. And
Kane did not do it.
Yeah, he just like threw him over the top of his head.
Silly Kane.
They were just having a good time. They were just having a good time. And I think we miss that a little bit from wrestling these days, don't we? Just like that kind of spontaneity of just being daft.
Here's a hot take for you. I want Sheamus and Drew McIntyre to be the modern day friends of destruction.
That would be cool.
Because they've got that kind of relationship with them.
They really do.
They love each other, but they also fight each other.
Yeah. I agree. That would be good. Get him in, get Sheamus to help draw out with Jinder in that.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty good.
Why not make it happen?
Just do it.
They've got a fantastic on-screen relationship those two do, but we're not here to speak about them.
We're not.
We're here to speak about more Undertaker and Kane, because they came back.
Yes.
Numerous times and across the years. That's just put them in the best.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's spanned like four decades at this point, if you count 2020 as part of... Really 2020 is not part of the next decade, is it?
Yeah.
Or is it?
Yeah, well, decade, yeah, because decade's 10 years.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
I tell you, I'm absolutely knackered. Yeah, it spanned 3 decades, for goodness sake.
Yeah, right? A long time.
Yeah, so
a very long time.
Straight in the top there.
Boom.
And let's not speak about Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, let's forget about that one.
Kane's mask fell off.
Yeah.
Yeah,
funny.
Number 7. What are we? Number 8. We're down to who?
We're
got rid of the New Age.
We did. Yes,
beg
we
my
did.
Pardon. In number 7, we have the Usos, who of course are 7-time tag team champions.
Oops.
The current SmackDown tag team champions are sat here right now, having beat the Mysterios at Money in the Bank 2021. We had feuds with the likes of Tyson Kidd and Cesaro way back in the day, when we used to be all about Samoa.
Yes.
Samoa. Yeah. When I say oos, you say oh. Oos.
Oh.
Oos.
Oh.
Oos.
Oh.
Yeah. And an explosion. Those days, the Usos, the New Day as well. Bludgeons now are developing, because the gimmick change.
Yes.
From the face paint, the sort of the paint homage to the tribal nature of Samoan heritage.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
All that stuff. For the kids, I thought that was, but now they're adults now.
I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it really kicked off their career as well when they did that change. I think that's when we really got the Usos.
It's the intensity, it Andrew. Is. And the promos are absolutely sensational each and every time. They're just amazing. Am I glad they didn't do it from the start? I don't know, maybe, because they were fine. It's just different horses for different courses, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. And do you remember, like, the promos where I think they were just, like, sat on some dark steps, just, like, doing some really brooding promos way back when? And that was just phenomenal. They're amazing, whether they're a heel, whether they're a face team. They can do no wrong in my eyes. I think they're very, very good. And
in the ring, that is.
Yeah, in the ring. Yeah, let's... Yeah, very, very good in the ring. And they're fantastic storytellers as well, which is another good thing. I think a tag team needs to do that too, especially if they are very much fundamentally a tag team, you know, always being together. I think you need to tell compelling stories, and they always seem to do that.
Yeah, straight at the top tier for me.
Yes, me too. It's weird to think that sort of this era of WWE, we talk about it quite a bit, but like... They have some fantastic tag teams. We always go on about how bad
they're joined at the hip. The Usos and New Day are joined at the hip.
That's it. They really are.
And the pantheon of great tag teams. I mean, just their feud. It's gone over many years, and it's always great matches, no matter what sort of stipulation they put in. But yeah, that gimmick changed the game for the Usos. Oh, I just love them.
Me too.
And now the ascension to the main event as well, with the Tribal Chief on SmackDown.
Crazy.
Proving the doubt is wrong. Tag teams can be in the main event. They were when we were kids.
Yeah, they really were worthy as well, which is insane to think about.
It bloody is. Down to number six we go, as they say in French.
Six.
Under trois, quatre, quinte,
six.
Quinte.
Under trois, quatre, quinte, six.
Cinq, six, sept, huit, neuf, dix,
onze.
Onze, douze, treize, quatorze, quinze, seize, dix-sept, dix-huit, dix-neuf, vingt.
Vingt et un.
Leaves the two. Two-time tag team champions in WWE. Legendary, of course. Yeah. I think, is it fair to say they were more famous for their exploits outside of WWE than they were in? Because they weren't there. They were there for 2 years in the early 90s. Of course, they came back during the Attitude Era, although we don't like to speak about that period of time, do we?
No.
They had the big win at WrestleMania 14 in the Battle Royal where they came back with Sonny as LED. LED 2000. LED TVs 2000. No, LOD 2000. I went Sunny thinking of her attire with the flames.
With it, yeah.
The flames.
I know what you mean.
I wasn't going for, like,
are you sure?
Yeah, I was. The flames, they went higher.
Cool.
But they came back and did well there. But
yeah,
apart from that, they had the horrible storyline about Hawk and his sort of real life and pro wrestling bleeding together with his troubles, and that's never a good thing.
It's no matter
who's the subject of that storyline. So
agreed.
Early 2 years they were in the company. Two-time tag team champions. The Road Warrior Pop is famous worldwide.
Yep.
Fused with the likes of the Nasty Boys and Money Inc., which is IRS, and Big Ted.
Big old Ted.
Damn Ted DiBiase.
Do a Ted laugh. Good that.
Can't do it. Can you?
No. What? How does he do it again?
It's just like...
That was it. That was good. Well, you got it. Yeah.
Thank you. And of course, towards the end of their initial run in the company, they would bring in Rocco, the ventriloquist dummy. And Paul Ellering came back with them, which was a nice touch.
Because
obviously he was the manager elsewhere in the world of professional wrestling. But Rocco was a ventriloquist dummy, Andrew, whose original name I found out today while doing research was Freckles.
I'm glad it was Rocco instead.
Why was Freckles aligned with the Legion of
Doom? Not a clue. Why would they need that? They don't need that.
What do you make of having to change their name because Vince was like, we have the Ultimate Warrior, we have the whatever Kerry Von Erich was back in the day, whatever warrior he was.
Yeah.
We have plenty of warriors, change your name. What do you make of all that?
Stupid. They were already known for what they were.
Yeah.
Like, why do that? I don't know if that's just because Vince is like, you know, you didn't make yourselves in my company, so I'm going to change you sort of into what I think you should be kind of thing. But what a fantastic tag team. One that we always talk about still to this day that influences so many people still. I know we're obviously talking about the WWE stuff, but the stuff they did in Japan was fantastic as well. Like, they were on another level of good. They were very ahead of their time as well.
Yeah.
And really brought something to WWE in that time period, much like, obviously, the Demolition as well. Very much brought something new and edgy to WWE when it definitely needed it. So, yeah.
Yeah, just the look, the finisher,
Doomsday's
advice, it's terrifying.
So good.
Of course, Animal would come back after Hawk's unfortunate passing in 2005 to make the LOD with Heidenreich.
Yep. Let's never speak about that.
Good. Number five in WWE's countdown is the Dudley Boys. 9 times WWE Tag Team Champion, 1 time WCW Tag Team Champions in WWE. Of course, around in the era of the Hardys and Edge and Christian, tag teams for the Ledders.
Tag teams for the Ledders.
They would come out and the Ledders would scream.
Yes.
Matt and Jeff would take their shirts off, the Ledders would scream.
Yes.
Edge would hump the mat, the Ledders would scream.
Yes.
The Dudley Boys would come out with a table. Get the pretty men. Get the pretty men.
Do the thing. Do push me. Like,
Andrew!
Like, then you have to look like... And then you have to go, get the table.
Get the table.
Go get it.
Go on then. You can't, can you?
Nope.
So we know about how many tag team titles they won in WWE. The thing I was saying earlier about the tag teams being in the main events, I remember so many times on Raws and SmackDowns, the Dudley Boys being on the other side of the ring in main events against the likes of Brothers of Destruction and tag teams like that. Tag teams can be in the main event.
They really can. And those two, I mean...
And pay-per-views as well,
and pay-per-views, yeah.
If you think about in the middle of the 2000s, just before they left for Passages New, the stuff with The Undertaker and Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
And was it the Great American Bash where...
With
Paul
Undertaker.
Bearer got put in the concrete crypt.
Concrete crypt.
Not a glass full of coffin, a concrete crypt.
And they were the main event at One Night Stand as well, weren't they? The first one. It was them two versus
Tommy
Dreamer
and
Sandman,
yeah.
Just, and that was an amazing match. See, they're so good.
Get them in the top.
They are in the top.
Well, you say too much more, do you, about the Dudley
Boys?
You
really don't. The boys. Whereabouts in the top, though?
We'll find out at the end, Andrew. Oh, yeah. That's all up to you, isn't it? You know, you've done these before, haven't you?
I have done these before.
Wake up there, Pony. I'm dying here. Number four, we have Edge and Christian, seven-time tag team champions together, although both Edge and the Christian, they won tag team titles with other people as well.
They have, yeah.
Dirty sleep arounds, what they like, yeah. But of course, it went from the Brood to the Ministry to then the 5 Second Pose and all that sort of stuff. It was, just, as we say, it's just different horses for different courses. Dudley Boys were there for the fellas, just putting folk through tables and being brawlers and whatnot. Edge and Christian, the sneaky, cowardly heels.
Yeah.
Pretty boys for the ladies with lovely blonde hair as well.
Fantastic. Just really, really good. Funny as well. Another team that benefited from being comedic, but also could be super serious in the ring, which was really cool. Both obviously going on to prove themselves as amazing heels and amazing faces too. And two people that grew up together wanting to do this for a living. Just
actual
amazing.
Biological brothers.
Real. That's not even kayfabe.
No, not kayfabe.
Not kayfabe at all. Mm. Yes.
Straight at the top?
Yep. Got to be.
Next up in the countdown, we're in the top three, everybody. We are in the Champions League qualifying places. Hart Foundation, two-time tag team champions, defeat the Bulldogs to win their first WWF Tag Team Championship, where the referee of the match, a certain dangerous Danny Davis, helped the Hearts to win the match.
I can't believe it's only been, they've only had two reigns.
I know.
I thought they had more than that.
I know. They dropped the titles to Strikeforce, who of course was Rick Martel, and Tito Santana. And then they feuded with the Rockers. And all the teams managed by Jimmy Hart back in the day. They had the strength of Jim, the technical prowess of Brett, just a mix and match of styles. Just the promos as well, where Brett was sort of, you know, he was understated by the standards of the day. He wasn't shouting.
He was a little bit reserved.
He was getting
then.
Excited from time to time, but he was like a lot more considered. And then Anvil was just like,
just always going for it.
Off his tits on coke.
So good.
Off his tits on coke, just screaming, pulling at his beard and whatnot, all that sort of stuff. Fantastic stuff. Again, straight in the top.
Straight in the top. And their tag team moves together. You know, where they'd actually, like, you know, do that, pull off the heart attack and all that kind of stuff. Neidhart and pick Brett up and body slam him onto people. Yeah. Oh, just amazing. You can't go wrong with that.
And of course, as Matthew likes to say a lot on the Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast, each and every Friday on the YouTube and other platform things for podcasts.
Yep.
Natalia's just around today to remind us that they were a thing.
Yes, very much so. Bless her. She does well, though.
She does well. Good. Holds Tamina back, though. Number two in the countdown on the official WWE thing is the Hardy Boys. One-time WCW Tag Team Champions during the Invasion angle.
Mm-hmm.
One-time Raw Tag Team Champions. I was there when they returned at WrestleMania 33.
Oh, I'm jealous.
The pop is the loudest I've ever witnessed in my entire life. It was deafening. It was amazing. Because everyone thought that I bought into it with me because the New Day were not dressed in their attire, I think, at the start of WrestleMania 33 as part of their hosting duties. But then they came out in their gear and I was thinking, well,
that's
going to be them, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Going to be them. Xavier Woods, I think it was. Or was it Kofi trying to take off his jacket just walking forward? Then the Hardy's music hits.
Oh, my God.
Jeff. I think the night before they had some sort of like death-defying ladder match against the Young Bucks.
Yeah, they did. That was an insane match as well. That was so good.
Less than 24 hours later, they're in WrestleMania and Jeff Hardy's jumping off the top of a 20-foot ladder.
What a guy.
What a guy. Yeah,
what a guy.
What a cham-up guy Jeff Hardy is. One-time SmackDown Tag Team Champions and then, of course, the sixth-time WWF, as it would have been Tag Team Champions as well.
Top. They're the reason I got into wrestling.
You do look like a Hardy Boy.
I do look like a Hardy Boy. Look, doing all that. Used to wear all them sleeves and circus. I loved him so much.
Did you?
I just loved the
in
Hardys.
Public?
Yeah.
Really?
I wanted to be a wrestler because of these guys, Ross. Like, they are the best to me. Mm. And again, another very, the Rockers being innovative and high flying back then. The Hardys coming in and adapting that, but making it into something of their own. And then you get like the whole, like the trifecta of the Hardys, the Dudleys and Edge and Christian together. Like they were just so good and so different at that time too. They've got to be in the best. I think they've got to be.
They've got to be. Huh?
They've got to be.
I agree. And then finally, WWE's greatest tag team ever is the New Day, and I don't care what you say. You can make arguments for every single tag team we've spoken about today, just about. But New Day fully justified being in that role. So a lot of people being upset at New Day being in there. I've got no idea why.
No.
Of course, they've been together for, well, officially they are still together, even though they're on different brands. Of course, you've got Kofi and Xavier on Raw. Big E on SmackDown. He's got the briefcase, though. He can jump over to Raw and take the title from Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
Can't he?
He can.
Not
he,
Bobby,
he will.
Bobby's going to lose.
No. Oh, no.
Bobby's going to lose.
But, well, Big E's been talking about it for a bit, hasn't he? That he wanted to face off against Goldberg.
Yeah.
Imagine, I mean, still, it's not that good.
No.
Him having the power, but still.
So longevity, the chemistry that can do... Well, early on, there were baby faces, and that didn't work. And the crowd let everybody know that didn't work when they were sort of in the more preacher role.
And choir-y stuff.
Yeah, the choirs and whatnot. And then they were lost in no man's land for a little while there. I remember them being in the kickoff Battle Royal, I think, at WrestleMania 31.
Yes.
In San Antonio, Santa Monica, San Francisco. Was it San Francisco?
San Andreas.
San Juan, New Mexico.
Wow.
No idea, San... San somewhere. San Sebastian?
San Sebastian?
I think it was in Santa Monica, was it? Whatever it was. San Bruno Sammartino. They were in there. And you were thinking, wow, the writing could be on the wall here for the New Day. But then they turned things around, and then
they
come the summer of 2015, which was a few months later, of course, they won the tag team championships.
Yep.
And the poo-housery on show there from the now heel New Day was unparalleled.
So good.
And it was fantastic. And they were so good as heels, they naturally, organically, which is always the best way to do it, turn babyface. They've had the run of their lives as babyfaces. I would love to know a figure in terms of money, how much money they've made from merchandise and stuff like that.
So much.
It must be in the millions.
It's got to be in the millions.
Tens of millions.
What, with your own cereal and stuff as well? Like,
Sprint three ways? Lovely.
Oh,
they've made so much money. Good for them.
Yes,
11-time WWE Tag Team Champions over the two brands, of course. The longest tag team title reign, which I do believe was that first one they started at SummerSlam 2015. Mm-hmm. Incredible matches with so many different tag teams. That just, and I guess you've got to throw Kofi Mania in there as well with him winning the big one at WrestleMania 35. I'll wax lyrical about the New Day. I think they should, despite what I said on the pictures video, never want to split up ever.
I genuinely can't ever see them splitting up. It's very rare that you get a team that still feels relevant and fresh after so many years as well. And they just manage to do it every single time. Like, this whole split at the moment, I completely get it, because I think Big E deserves to be going out and doing his own thing. Yeah. And I like the idea that they've said before, you know, it doesn't matter. We're still the New Day. If someone splits off to do their own thing, we'll support them. And rightly so, because each individual person in the New Day is fantastic. But when they all come together, that's when it's just pure magic, and I really don't think you can beat them.
Get them in the top.
Woo!
Get them in the
Here
top.
We go.
So now we've come to the end of the tier list ranking malarkey thingy. And it's up to you, Bonnie Lad, to find out who is the best tag team of all time. So we start with Undisputed Era in their various incarnations of tag teams. Are they better than The Shield?
No.
I agree with that.
Okay.
British Bulldogs, better than The Shield.
No.
Rockers, better than The Shield.
Oh, for influence. Yes.
Wow. Mega Powers, better than The Rockers.
Do it.
Have to do the thing where you grab the shield.
Got it. There we go.
Mega Powers, better than The Shield.
No.
Brothers of Destruction, better than The Shield.
No.
The Usos, better. No, sorry. Rockers.
Oh, Rockers.
I said the wrong thing.
You did.
Sorry.
Well, no. Still.
Usos, better than The Rockers.
Mm-hmm. No. Ooh,
LOD, better than The Rockers.
Do you reckon?
No, I reckon they've got to be.
Go on then.
But it's up to you.
Now I'm thinking the Usos are better than The Rockers.
I would say so as well.
Go on then. Right.
So Usos LOD, top. Better than Usos.
No.
Dudley Boys, better than the Usos.
Yes.
Yeah, I would say so as well.
Whip.
It's hard though.
Come on, bro.
Edge and Christian, better than the Dudleys?
No.
Heart Foundation, better than the Dudleys?
No. Got slightly.
Matt and Jeff, I think I know the answer here. They're better than the Dudleys, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with you. It's your,
are you really?
It's always the guest's call on the tier.
Everyone's going to hate me.
So here's the big one. Are the Hardy Boys better than the New Day?
I think the New Day at the top, Ross. I think that you can't beat the New Day. I don't think you can beat the New Day. What do you reckon?
I've got no qualms with you putting the New Day at the top of this thing.
New Day are at the top.
New Day are absolutely fantastic. So there we have it. We agree with WWE on something. The New Day are the greatest tag team in the history of professional wrestling. Andrew.
Yes.
I don't like you.
Thank you.
But thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me today.
For this mega power of a tier rank and malarkey thing. We've been here for a while, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been big.
Any
nearly
closing remarks before we go away?
No, thank you for chopping me in the chest. That was very kind of you do so. And thank you for having me on this. I know we don't like each other, but, well, I like you, you know.
Well, I liked you until I found out you were trying to use this thing that I helped build from the ground up. So.
Well, you know, but thank you for having me on here despite you not liking me.
That's okay.
It's kind of you.
Will I see you at the biggest party of the summer? I'll be there. Will you be there?
I might be there with a sombrero hat.
You might be there. Sombrero hat.
Little pina colada or whatever they're called.
Interesting. So we'll have to see what happens there. But that's been the tier rank thing. And New Day are the best of all time. I think that's true.
Yep.
People might disagree. That's good for you. Opinions, they are like arseholes. Everybody's got one and they're all stinky. I've been Ross from Cultaholic. He's been a no-good doylem. Which, by the way, means idiot in Geordie language.
Does it? I thought a doylem was one of them things you put, like, coasters, like cups and stuff on. You know, like a little is that a doily?
A coaster?
Like a doily. You know, like a woven piece of thing that you put on a table.
Oh, right. Is that what they're called, is it?
Or is that a doily? A doyle?
No idea.
Something like that.
Kevin Doyle, former Reading FC striker.
Yes.
Let's end this now. I'm going to apologise for my performance here today. I am frazzled. I am tired. The Cultaholic Wrestling Podcast, it really does take you out of you when it's 3 hours long. But there we go. I should get fitter or something.
You did a good job.
I'll be better at talking. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. We'll see you next time on the Tier List Ranking Malarkey. All the best to you.
How?
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.